for the humankind is to follow the religion Islam, and that's what was the subject of our discussion in the past nights in the month of Ramadan, Ma'rifatuddin, Deen Shanasi. That means recognizing the true concept of religion itself. And what does Islam has to say about the religion? And our conversation had reached the point that in order to understand the Deenul Haqq, the religion of truthfulness and righteousness, and distinguish the religion of Haqq from the religion of Batil, the religion of falsehood, which is practiced by so many, it is very important to get transferred to the discussion of Haqq and Batil, righteousness and falsehood first. So we first distinguish what Haqq is and what Batil is, and that will empower us to distinguish between the religion of Haqq and the religion of Batil easily. And we discussed the fact how to recognize the Haqq in the eyes of Islam, and the two ways of discovering the Haqq were discussed, which were al-aql as-saleem, the pure intellect, and al-wahy, means the revelation. So these are the two only ways how in Islam we are supposed to do the tamyiz, distinguishing between Haqq and Batil. And then we discuss the fact that after we are able to utilize al-aql as-saleem, the pure intellect, which is one of the biggest ni'mat and blessings of Allah on the human, and after we turn to the teachings of the Prophet revealed in the wahi and revelation to his qalb, and we distinguish between Haqq and Batil through al-aql as-saleem and the wahi, now it's the time to move to the next step, which is our responsibilities after distinguishing Haqq from the Batil. And the responsibilities were basically four, and I told you and talked about in the first one, which is fahs and tahqiq, means searching about the Haqq. When you are able to distinguish, now the first responsibility, go and search, go and find out. And the second was ittiba, that means after you find out, you're supposed to start following. And the third one was istiqamat, that means being resilient and steadfast on the path of Haqq and ready to face the different tests and turmoils that we have to face on this path. And fourth responsibility and the last responsibility that we have towards the Haqq is al-amal ala ihya'ihi. That means we do our actions for the sake of making the Haqq alive in this society. A mu'min is supposed to work hard, do his efforts, his actions, so that he makes Haqq alive. That now that he has distinguished the Haqq, now that he is doing the ittiba, he's following, now that he is mustaqeem, having istiqamat and resilience, now in the fourth step, he should make others start following the Haqq. That's how you install the Haqq in the society. When you are so much doing istiqamat on such high levels that you are not only following your own, on your own, but you are making others follow the path of Haqq. That's the fourth responsibility and the last responsibility we have towards the Haqq. The one of the prime reasons why in Islam there's so much importance laid on this establishment of the Islamic social justice system in the society, and adl, iqamatul adl, is because the Islamic government and hukumat concept is compulsory for Ihya ul-Haq. You cannot install the Haq on its higher levels without having the authority in the government. You cannot just sit home and keep on sending faxes to the Security Council of the United Nations to liberate the Masjid al-Aqsa. So the hukumat is required for installing Haq. Imam Ali alayhi salatu wa salam. And Manzil Ziqar on the station and the stop. In old days there used to be stations and people used to travel in the desert. So because the caravans keep on going on and off, so they were very much aware of the paths through the deserts. Right now we have the freeways and they have the rest areas. In those days there were no freeways, but the expert travelers knew the paths inside the deserts, and the people have distinguished some of the nicer locations where usually the caravans used to stop in the middle of the desert. Either there is some water there, or there are some date palm trees or oasis or whatever be the reason. But there were some manazil. Those stops in the deserts are usually called the manazil, the stations during the travel. So on the station of Ziqar, Amir Mumin al-Islam, going towards the Battle of Siffin and the battle against Muawiyah, who rebelled against his government. On the station of Ziqar, Imam Ali salatu wasalam was stitching his slipper, his naal, which has already, it was already, a worn down slipper, and with the patch and all that, all on it. And Imam Ali salatu wasalam asked Abdullah ibn Abbas that ma qimatu hadha al-na'al, what's the market value, what's the price of this slipper? And Abdullah ibn Abbas said la qimata laha islan, it has no price. Who's going to buy this kind of worn down slipper with a patch? Of course it has no market value. Nobody cares about buying this kind of stuff. Imam Ali salatu wasalam then said, wallahi la hiya ahabbu ilayya min imratikum, I swear to God, this is more beloved to me than your government. Illa, I mean, this is the price, this is the value Imam Ali holds for having charge and authority. Some people are dying day in and day out to take charge of governments, killing innocent people so that they can grab power. Isn't that right? And look at Imam Ali Islam, he holds no value for the material governments in this world. So the material governments have no value in the eyes of Islam. But yes, despite the fact they have no value, Imam Ali is still fighting against Muawiyah so that he can retain the government. Why? Isn't that a question that we need to think? Despite the fact he says that we understand in the light of the hadith that there is no value for the government, he is still ready to fight against Muawiyah to retain the government. Why? Isn't that thought-provoking? He says, wallahi lahiya ahabbu ilayya, and this is one of those ahadiths which are misinterpreted and spinned and twisted by some people to prove that Islam has nothing to do with hukumat. See, Imam Ali himself is saying that, I swear to God, in other words, this slipper of mine is more beloved than the government. So Islam has nothing to do with the government. Look at how some people misuse the hadith for their lack of performing their political obligations towards Islamic Ummah. In order to justify their bad behaviors, they dump it on Ahlul Bayt and their hadith. So Imam Ali al-Salam was not trying to say that. He was trying to make a different point. But they don't understand the point. So they said, so Imam Ali al-Salam says, wallahi la hiya ahabbu ilayya min imratikum, I swear to God, it's more beloved. This slipper is more beloved to me than your government. Illa an uqima haqqan, except if I have to install the haq. That means if I have to install the haq, then the government is more important. Isn't that right? But this segment is not explained by some people. So illa an uqima haqqan, and that's exactly what we are talking about. The fourth responsibility after recognizing haq is al-amal ala ihya'ihi. That means we work hard to install the haq in the society. Not just you start practicing on your own, personally speaking, but also benefit others in the community to make them open up their eyes and make them eligible to work hard for working and establishing haq in the society. Illa an uqima haqqan aw adfa'a batilan. Except if I have to install, I want to install haq and to reject batil. Which of course he has to do that. That's what he's trying to do, to install haq. He's already on haq. Himself, personally speaking, he's already on haq. He's already have istiqamat, resilience. The Holy Prophet has already said, that's narrated by the Sunni brothers. Prophet already said, Aliyun ma'al haq wal haqqu ma'ali. So he already has a guarantee from the hadith of Rasulullah. Personally speaking, he doesn't need to bother about that. He doesn't need to worry about that. But he has to install the same haq that he belongs to, the same haq that follows him, he has to install in the society as well. And that installation requires the government. You cannot sit home and install without having the authority. So we find there were people who recognized the haq, but still they never support it. And there were people who distinguished the batil, but still did not reject the batil and make sure that the batil gets its deserving stage and position that it deserves. Didn't do that. And look at what Imam Ali Islam has to say about this category of people in this society, who know what is haq, they know what is batil, for whatever reasons, they are not ready to support the haq and they are not ready to reject the batil after knowing it. Now Ali Rasulatu Wasalam says, لَوْ لَمْ تَتَخَاذَلُوا خُطْبَةً Sermon number 166. لَوْ لَمْ تَتَخَاذَلُوا عَنْ نَصْرِ الْحَقِّ وَلَمْ تَهِنُوا عَنْ تَوْهِينِ الْبَاطِلِ. If these, if you guys didn't, in other words, these people were deceiving their own selves. They were deceiving their own selves and not supporting the haq. And they did a lazy behavior towards the batil. Did not work hard to make batil get weakened in the society. If this behavior was not there, that's what we understand in light of the hadith. لَمْ يَطْمَعْ فِيكُمْ مَنْ لَيْسَ مِثْلَكُمْ. The person, the one who is not similar to you, would not have had greed on in you. That means that the enemy, دُشْمَنِي كَبِي پَيَوْ شُوَانِيست. The enemy which is not even your match, the enemy which cannot parallel you, is now attacking you, is now working against you, even though the enemy is not even parallel to you. You are superior than the enemy, but the still enemy is overpowering you because of this behavior. وَلَمْ يَقْوَى مَنْ قَوِيَ عَلَيْكُمْ. And no powerful would have got power over you if this behavior was not there. So this behavior, when in Muslim community, you are always in minority. Muslims were and shall remain till the zuhur of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam in the minority. Let's be very clear. Prophet has already said, Bada al-Islamu ghariban wa sayya'udu ghariba fa tuba lil-ghuraba. Islam started with loneliness, and وَسَيَعُودُ غَرِيبًا, and soon Islam will return back as a lonely. تُوبَ لِلْغُرَبَى. And the غُرَبَى, the lonely ones, need to be congratulated. So we are already lonely. We are not in a majority. We are alone. We don't have a lot of supporters anyway. The beginning of Islam is like this, and the end of Islam is guaranteed to be like this. But we need to have tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The spiritual factor, the metaphysical factor, the ma'navi unsur and factor, the taqwa. This is what needs to be strengthened, reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After tawakkul means reliance on Allah about the result and natija after doing your fara'id. This is the whole concept of taqwa. You do your fariza, even though you are in minority, you will get the divine help and the job will get done. The reason why the job is not done is because it's not because the Muslims are in minority. We are so less, we can't do it. No. This is deceiving our own selves. If we come to this kind of conclusions, we are actually deceiving our own selves. Because we will continue to be in the minority even you know, at the end. But the point is that some people who are supposed to perform their obligations are not performing their obligations towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's why the nusrat of Allah did not arrive, because the fariza was not done. Even if the minority performs their fariza collectively, not personally, collectively, the nusrat of Allah will arrive and you will find the difference. That's the reason which is missing. So we find, now that we understand the difference between haq and batil and our responsibilities towards haq and batil, the next segment of our discussion is about adam imkan ta'addud al-adyan in Islam. That means it's muhal and impossible in Islam to believe that there are multiple options inside Islam. There is no ta'addud inside Islam. There is no pluralism inside Islam. You cannot imagine. And the Holy Prophet, sometimes he used to pray like this, sometimes he used to pray like this, sometimes he used to pray like this, sometimes he used to pray like this. This is hypocrisy. This is nifaq. This is having multiple policies in life. Prophet had one policy of his life. What was that one policy? Every person needs to distinguish with his aql and with the wahi, and follow that one single policy of Rasulullah, because two different contradictory things cannot be haq at the same time. If I say this is the daytime and you say no Maulana, this is the night time, either I have to be on batil or you have to be on batil. Both of us cannot be on haq. Isn't that right? Because our claims are contradictory. Isn't that right? It cannot be, it's not logically possible to accept that I am claiming that this is the daytime, this is the broad daylight, and you are saying no, this is the night time. We both cannot be on haq. It's logically impossible. You know, this is not a rocket science. When you have contradictory claims, one has to be on haq and one has to be on batil. So مختلف الدعوتان, نهج البلاغة says مختلف الدعوتان إلا كانت إحداهما ضلالة. They are not, and it never happens, you know, that two different claims are there, except that one of those two is ضلالت and gumrahi and misguidance. Whenever you find two different claims, Mr. A making a different claim, Mr. B making a different claim, one has to be on dalalat and gumrahi and batil. Both cannot be on haq. This is for sure. Yeah, maybe both can be on batil. This is possible, both are on batil. But both cannot be on haq. Because the claims are contradictory. How can both be on haq? Isn't that right? So we find that in Islam, the entire religion is there for the tarbiyat of insan, of the human beings. I remember Sayyid al-Imam Ridwanullahi alayhi used to say that, you know, Quran yek kitab insan sazis. Quran is a book of manufacturing the humans. The purpose of the whole Quran is to make us humans, so that we can gain our level and status of insaniyat, to make us human beings. it's not a big deal to be a bashar. Because in Arabic, when you use the word bashar, we are referring to the al-janibul haywani, the animalistic and beastly aspect of the human existence. This is what we call bashariyat. But when we use in Arabic the word al-insan, which is derived from the word of uns and familiarity, we are talking about his ma'navi and metaphysical aspect, which is related to his qalb and soul. That's what makes him superior to all the rest of the creatures in this world. So we find that insaniyat of his insan is because of his ruh and qalb. And this is what Quran is here to address our spirituality and to make us human beings. It's true that the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah has said, ذَلِكَ الْأَلِفْ لَا مِيمْ ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدَلْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. But then my teacher, Ayatullah Jawadi Amuli Hafizahullah, was saying in his tafsir that you move forward in the same Surah Al-Baqarah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُدَلْ لِلنَّاسِ. In the same Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah says, هُدَلْ لِلنَّاسِ. So we understand that actually in the thaqafat of Quran, the Ahlul Taqwa are the ones who are considered to be insan. Those who are not Ahlul Taqwa are not categorized to be insan in the dictionary of the teachings of Quran. So that's what we are talking about. Quran ye karkhane ye kitab e insan saziz. Quran is a book of manufacturing the humans. So it wants to make us human beings. Get out of the bashariyat. Get out of the animalistic, beastly, haywani type of life, caring about the stomach and the private parts only. This is what the animals do. Let's care about your soul. So when the haqiqat, the reality of an insan is because of his ruh and ruhaniyat and qalb, the haqiqat of every human being is one. The human has haqiqatun wahida, he has one reality, not multiple. Yeah, we do use various terms, like we sometimes use the word nafs, sometimes use the word qalb, sometimes use the word ruh, isn't that right? But these are all actually terminologies of different Islamic sciences. So the word nafs is commonly used in Ilm al-Akhlaq, referring to the same entity, and the word qalb, is usually used in the Ilm al-Irfan, and the words and also repeated in Ilm al-Akhlaq as well, because these knowledges are intertwined with each other, and the word ruh is frequently used in falsafa and Ilm al-Kalam. So basically, it's not like that you have several haqiqat, several realities inside your existence. One is called nafs, and there's another one which is called qalb, and there's another one which is called ruh. No, you have only one haqiqat and reality inside your existence, and that one single haqiqat, when you are talking from the perspective of ilm al-akhlaq, they call the same haqiqat to be nafs. When we are discussing about the same thing from the perspective of getting driven away by our desires, we use the word nafs. So when we are referring in another Islamic knowledge and science to the same haqiqat, we call it qalb. When we are referring in another knowledge in Islamic science like ilm al-kalam or falsafa, we call the same haqiqat to be ruh. So it's one single haqiqat. It's not multiple haqqaiq that we are talking about. So it's just the haqiqat of the human being is one. And that's the reason why we believe that in Islam, the deen has to be one. So that's what our scholars say and Urafa say, that ma'rifatul deen, that means deen shanasi, is directly related to ma'rifatul insan, to insan shanasi. You need to have in-depth recognition of the reality of a human in order to have the proper in-depth recognition of the reality of the religion. Because religion is directly related to the human's reality. I already told you the hadith when we were talking about the aql several months ago. I remember that when Allah created the aql and asked the aql to move forward, aqbil fa aqbala, aql came forward, then Allah said adbir, move back, and aql moved back, and then Allah said iyyaka u'aqib wa iyyaka uthib, remember that I'm going to reward you, I'm going to punish, iyyaka u'aqib wa iyyaka uthib, and you I'm going to reward. So basically the whole sharia and all the list of the do's and do nots in Islam are addressed to the human aql, which is one salahiyat and istidad and capability of our ruh. Aql is one of the capabilities of our ruh. So our ruh is the mukhatab of the whole sharia. Our aql is the mukhatab of the whole sharia, which is one of the istidad of the ruh. So haqiqat of a human is one, because the fitrat is one, because the aql is one, because the ruh is one. And this thing is constant and consistent over the passage of millennia. Centuries and centuries and centuries have passed away. The human of the earliest age has exactly the same ruh and exactly the same aql and exactly the same fitrat that you belonging to this contemporary times have, without any difference. So the haqiqat of the human is one, sinkhiyatun wahida, from one sin, it's musanikh. There is no ta'addud in the haqiqat. And the shari'at, which belongs to the furu'uddin, is related to the badan and the bodily aspects of our existence, which things that we need to do in our life, which are related to where we are living, what are the needs of the time and space, مقتضيات الزمان, you know, and مقتضيات are different from time to time, from place to place. So that makes perfect sense that since the body is متغير, body is vulnerable to changes, so the sharia, which is related to the furu'uddin and applicable on our parts of the body, that we need to do things through the parts of the body. So this is has to be the sharia, has to be varying according to the needs and demands of the time, until the human reaches a stage of rushd and kamal, comparably as compared to the previous generations, and then the human deserves to get the final sharia, which does not need to be changed any further. So you go to the humans of the previous centuries and you find every human in the previous times also considers amanat as mustahsan, amanat dari, taking care of the entrusted trusts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Humans 5,000 years ago also used to consider amanat dari to be good, just like the human being 5,000 years after that also considers amanat dari, taking care of the entrusted trusts of Allah, to be a good thing. Isn't that right? So these are teachings which are not changeable. These are the mainstream teachings of Islam. Like telling the sidq and truth. You go to a human being 5,000 years back, and you go to a human being who is born today, both humans equally will consider that telling the truth is a good thing and lying is bad. You even ask Saddam, la'anatullahi alayh, and he would also say, yeah, lying is bad, although he may be the biggest liar in his life. Isn't that right? But he will also say, yes, lying is bad. Isn't that right? So this is a universal truth. So universal truths, these are basic Islamic mainstream, tawadhu, modesty, being humble and down to earth. You ask a human being 5,000 years back and a human being born today, they will say, yeah, tawadhu and modesty and being down to earth, something good and appreciated. It's part of good morality. These are all mainstream teachings, the hurriyat, freedom. A human needs to be freely observing his rights and responsibilities towards the Creator. without bondage. Khiyanat is bad. Every human being of all times will say khiyanat is bad. Isn't that right? Lying is bad. Dhulm and oppression is bad. You know, isti'bad and istismar and istihmar. You know, and these are all bad things. Exploitation of the humankind, making them your servants and slaves. And these are all bad things in manfur and mutanaffir and hated in the eyes of the akal of a human being. So, there is, according to what my teacher had said, Liza, you know, that pluralism dini mawzu'i nadara. There is no room and there is no subject remaining. There is no subject remaining for, in Islam, when you're talking in Islam, there is no subject remaining for pluralism at all. Once you understand the concept that the haqiqat of the human being is not multiple and is one, and the taghayyur and multiplicity or the change, your vulnerability to change is related to the tabi'at and alamut tabi'ah, not alamul aql. It's related to the body and not the soul of the person. When you understand the whole concept, the haqiqat of a human is one, then there is no mawdu and subject remaining for pluralism in Islam at all. So those people who are talking about that in Islam, they must understand that they fail to understand the reality of the human. That's why they are talking about this pluralism in Islam. In the Deena in the Lahil, Islam, in Surah Ali Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, verse 19, already made it very clear. Indeed, with Allah, religion is Islam. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا. And whoever seeks a religion other than Islam, فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ. It will never be accepted from him. So, we have ta'addud of shari'at and minhaj. And that's what our scholars said, the ta'addud of sharia and minhaj. So this ta'addud is related to the janibut at-taghyir. That means the changeable aspect of the human existence, which is related to our bodies, related to alamut tabi'ah. Because of our isti'adad, our capabilities are different, and our demands are, ihtiyajat and needs are different according to the times and the space, and keeps on changing according to the night. But now, after the arrival of the final Sharia, the needs of the human beings are not going to change till the day of judgment. They will be the same, and that's the reason. That's maybe one of the reasons why Allah Subhanahu wa Taala is not ready to send another Sharia that can be nasikh towards this existing one. Just like the mathematical formulas and the mathematical truths never change by the passage of time. You know, you can't discover any change in the mathematical realities. Similarly, the realities of philosophy and the realities of ilm al-kalam, that means Islamic belief system, which are entirely based on aql. It's also based on the naql and al-dala'il al-manqula, but it's also based on aql. So, ilmul kalam, which is Islamic belief system, and ilmul falsafa, which is Islamic philosophy, al-hikmat al-muta'aliyah, and ilmul riyadhi, that means mathematics. These things never change by the passage of time, because all these three are related to the human aql and intellect. Whereas there is no change in the human intellect by the passage of centuries. You don't find 2 plus 2 used to be 5, then after 500 years it became 2.5, and now it became 2.2, became 4. Just recently after the Second World War. It doesn't happen like this. 2 plus 2 wars used to be 4 and will remain 4 no matter what happens. Isn't that right? These are universal truths because they're related to the aql, which is uniform in all times. La tabdila li khalqi Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed in Surah Ar-Rum, verse 30. So there is no change in the creation of Allah, and our scholars have mentioned in the tafsir, under the tafsir of that ayat, that because the human has a fitrat, which is fitratun sabita, which is permanent and stand permanent fitrat, which is not there to be changed. So, inshallah, in the next Thursday, probably it will be the last one on this subject, if we can finish it, inshallah. There are two things primarily remaining, which I promised to mention. One is the lub and the qishr of the religion. In Islam, we believe there is something which is lub, the essence, and something which is called the qishr of the religion, which is the outer layer. So what is the lubul Islam, the inner core of the religion, and what is the qishr al-Islam, the outer layer, external layer of Islam? We'll discuss the lub and the qishr, and then we will discuss at the end, inshallah, some of the alamat and alaim and signs, how the Satan penetrates into the human intellect. So if any of those signs are found in any human being, he must understand that his aql is now under the control of shaitan and is no longer al-aql as-saleem. We will discuss the signs of the control of shaitan over the human aql. وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين.